Great. Thanks, Vincent. Look, let's just open today with a quick word of prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've just given us such a glorious day to be here today with you, Lord, and that as we come here to hear your word, you open up our hearts and our minds to you, that we will praise you for today and the rest of this week as we learn more about you and what you've done for us in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so it's a very unusual sermon topic, and the title here, I thought I'd try and perplex everyone to see if it would actually generate a bit more support about people actually turning up. But as Andrew mentioned, you know, October is always a very difficult month to actually get a sellout crowd in terms of people coming to a talk like this. And in particular, given that half of Auckland's probably actually run the marathon at the moment, and only one person's actually made it back yesterday, so thank you, Rob, for actually making it back. So you'll no doubt wonder, am I today going to just talk about financial advice? And as I look across the room here, you know, I realise that the title might be a bit unusual in that, am I going to be telling you where to put your money? Or I'm going to be talking about something else quite deeper and different. So before I delve into that, as usual, if you've ever been to a financial presentation, there is a typical disclaimer which is often given by advisors. No batteries, that would help. Actually, Harvey, do you mind if I tell you to actually... oh, no, thank you. Yeah, if you just flick to the next slide, Harvey, that would be great. Okay, so here's my disclaimer, which, you know, Andrew will be able to make it very clear with the views which I expressed today are actually the current policy of ACDC, and any advice which you hear around where to put your investments, other than maybe in the bank of ACDC, might be denied around any liability to returns up there. And clearly, you know, I'll be mentioning a few Bible quotes, so I'm actually going to say very clearly that they are factual, and that that final sentence is very much from the Bible as well, which is from Proverbs, as you're probably aware. Okay, so you know, after you usually hear a disclaimer, you usually hear the credentials of whoever's actually talking, and so for my credentials, just to actually put it out there, stop laughing, Marty, actually. I am a qualified accountant, so I am qualified to give this talk from an accounting and finance point of view. I have been involved in the healthcare industry for a few years now, and some of you might be aware that I've been hanging around a lot of mental health people. And I've been a Christian now for 30 years as well. I've just a bit over 30 years, so there'll be a weaving in of a Christian discussion in there. No. 30 years. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Okay. So there are people here who are likely to boot people out if they're actually heckling too much. So you've got your first yellow card here. So anyway, let's just get on to what we're all here today about, which is why have I called this the most hated bull market in history? And if you're not aware and you haven't been an investor in the stock market, a lot of the analysts will actually say that we've been going through historically the largest, what they call bull run, which is the upward growth curve of how stocks have actually performed. And it all dated back prior to the last end of the crash back to the 2008 big crash, which is what commonly referred to as GFC, and now we're actually at a point where in 2019, just a bit over 10 years later, that we have got a high record of stock performance. So, you know, things are actually through the charts. And if you've been invested in things like KiwiSaver, or you put your money into even the property market, you know, everyone's actually pretty happy, unless you were not in there. And so a lot of the world is now at a point where they're trying to figure out, should I keep investing, or should I actually pull out now and actually cash up? Or on the flip side, if I never actually did put money actually into anything at all, well, how am I going to get in at all? Because it's pretty hard when you've got things like, you know, property at an all-time high and doesn't seem to be dropping at all. And so when you get into the deeper part of what that all means, there is a very, very deeper issue around inequality and people being a little bit fearful about what the future has in store for us. And when you think about what it actually means for us here on this planet, and what it means for our future, ultimately what I'm actually saying is we're doing this because we're all looking for a good life or a happy life. And Benson, thank you very much. You know, Ecclesiastes is a really good book, which talks a lot about the meaninglessness of life. And I think that's where a lot of people are actually seeing where we are today. And the question is, are we headed for a moment of despair, or can we actually genuinely take hold and get to a point of happiness in our lives? And so as part of that whole theme, I've been reflecting a lot about my own life and the highs and lows, and asking the question, am I actually happy myself? Now, a bit hard to see the picture, but there's actually it's a Buddhist monk, by the way, and he's got all these electrodes hooked up to his brain. I was at a talk which a doctor who's a psychiatrist actually gave a couple of years back, and his name is Dr. Tony Fernando, if there are any doctors in the room, and he's commonly referred to as the happiness doctor. And so he talks about that when you take a clinical view around happiness, and he researches this quite a lot, that there are three circuits in our brain which are wired towards happiness, and they stem from one on being calm or content. And, you know, that's very much when you've been meditating or praying and you're actually very comfortable with life, or if you're actually, you know, just really enjoying the day and being outside, through to that point where you've got excitement happening in your life. And, you know, I know, Rob, I don't know what you felt like when you finished the finishing line today, but that would have been that big endorphin rush running through, and then the dopamine rush of actually, you know, feeling elated when you actually got there. But equally, it could also be, you know, we've heard in the last week or so, the big lotto draw occurred and two people won a big Powerball lotto draw. And so they would have been very much happy with that whole trigger around excitement actually triggering in their minds when they actually won that. And then that third area around connection and compassion, that's the one which I really want to drill into today, because this is the more enduring, higher form of happiness, which is driving form of happiness from a medical or a psychiatric point of view. And it actually is more internal, the way we want to think about this, and I'm going to delve a little bit deeper actually into this. So as you look at this slide, actually, I really want you to actually ask yourself, am I a consistently happy person? And do I really know what is driving that happiness if I am? Or do I know why I'm not so happy in my life if I'm not? And then if you're a Christian, which, you know, can't, you know, for a lot of us Christians, you know, we're sort of taught to be, you know, always putting a smile on our face. And you've actually got to ask yourself constantly, why am I not always happy or slightly you know, in despair when I'm actually, you know, have got, you know, the faith in Christ and trust in the Lord as actually being a Christian? And so that's something which you've really got to think about. Okay, who's this guy? We have Steve Rogers, who, okay, well, I get the fact he's not real, but, you know, I've put this to you around, you know, when you think about what's in a life or what's in a good life, you know, I think about it's very much engaged, eventually get a happy ending. But you know, when you first watched the first movie of Captain America, you knew that you know, he was a guy who didn't have all the talent and probably the best quality of life, but he had a huge heart. And you know, with a little bit of help from science, he actually managed to charge and had big wins, and he actually did lose as well, and he had ultimately a happy ending. Here's our you know, the story of someone's life is often has to be crafted in a way where the protagonist or the main character has to go through what's called a character arc, a moment of transformation, to actually they have that coming back with them and multiple benefits, and they have a happy ending in either their story. So I think that's pretty much what happened in the book that she just wrote. So I did read it. It was a happy ending towards the end, although it did leave you on a cliffhanger if you have read it for the next book which comes out. So all of us start thinking, all of us start our lives thinking that, you know, happiness is natural, and that if we work hard enough, that we save enough, good enough, and smart enough, that we will live. And as time goes on, we realise that happiness is not as easy as we thought in life. And you find the most successful people in life aren't that happy, and are quite cynical about their own happiness. Now, I want to actually challenge you and actually ask, is life like what we watch in the movies that we touched on, where everyone lives happily ever after? I've noticed now that with Netflix being very much the favourite choice of viewing habits, and Michelle very, very much like this, that she loves watching these romantic movies because clearly Netflix has algorithms and it actually shows everything which you've watched before, and then it gives you recommendations. And on her account, comes up with Disney films and romantic, all these romantic movies, and actually on Matthew's one, it comes up with all Asian dramas and K-pop films. And on my one, it's usually all action flicks and with a bit of comedy horror in the middle of it. But that's just me. And so, but I've realised on Michelle's one that, you know, she actually likes the happiness of the things that she watches. And you tend to grow to believe in it, although sometimes you actually realise when you get back to real life that it might be a little bit unachievable. But I want to actually challenge you and say it's neither natural nor unachievable. It is possible, and it is possible, although it might be a radical statement, to actually have a genuinely consistent, happy life. So if happiness is actually then possible, why is it that so few people do actually have it? Now, there was actually a book, I don't know if you remember, many years ago, and this lady, I think her name was Rhonda Byrne, and she wrote a book called Secret, which she published well over 10 years ago. And a lot of people ended up buying that book and reading it, and it was all about this whole power of attraction, that if you think about it, it's going to happen in your life and you're going to be happy. And as you can imagine, you know, it actually probably only made one person really happy, and that was her, because she was the author. And people wrote and read her book, and she actually got quite rich on that. And, you know, I want to actually say that today it probably dropped down a few rungs in the best-selling book list, because it didn't quite work out to be quite true for a lot of people. And so today I'm really going to take you through 5 steps to investing in our own lives to get that authentic happiness that I want to actually say is not so secret. But by the way, if you want to donate some money to my favourite charity, come and see me actually after. It's not so secret, but it is free of charge, and And so come and see me each year after if you do want to make a donation each year there. And sometimes it seems that if the whole world is running around after happiness, that happiness always seems beyond our grasp. We actually need to look at, are we focusing on the wrong things? And that could be, as we see here, we might be focusing on money or love or success in our general career. And the truth of the matter is that people are actually seeking happiness in the wrong place. And rather than try and living someone else's life, we need to accept, first and foremost, the life that we have been given, not somebody else's life. You know, we can't always be Captain America, or we can't live Marty's life over there. You know, we need to be living our own lives, and because they will be so much more rewarding and richer as we come into this today and as we go out today as well. And so if we're actually saying, you know, I wish I looked like such and such, or I wish I had your job, I wish I had your house, then I want to take you back to that reading that Benson actually read out earlier. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I want to really dwell on these words, which are that, well, one thing at least is good. It is for a man to eat well, drink a good glass of wine, and accept his position in life, and enjoy his work, whatever his job may be, for however long the Lord may let him live. And so I want you to really notice these words, which Solomon is basically communicating here to us. And, you know, most scholars would actually say that Solomon, who actually was gifted with wisdom, probably wrote these words at the very end of his life, rather than the beginning of his life. The key things here are about taking your lot in life and enjoying it. In other words, embracing the life, the personality, the strengths and weaknesses, the family, the resources, the opportunities, the physical qualities, the abilities, the gifts, and the uniqueness that God has given you. Taking those is actually what it's all about. It's asking you to be faithful with your life, not with someone else's. And we've all heard in Matthew 25, where we hear about the parable of the master who gave three of his servants different talents, which is effectively money in today's terms. The master was really well pleased with the first man and the second servant, but to the third, he was not that happy. Because that third servant did nothing. He just buried it in the ground, and all he had to do was embrace his talent, invest it, and be able to give back to his master more than what he actually started with. And the master would have said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He did not hear those words, although because he did nothing with what he actually had. And so the question actually is, what are you doing with what you have been given? I believe this is a question which we all need to ask ourselves quite frequently. So I want to say the first step in that five-step model is make the best of what you actually have. God has given you everything. He has a reason and a purpose for you. And everything about you is by his design. And I'm not saying that you need to settle for a situation that needs to be improved, but I am saying that you need to accept the way that God has actually made you, the life that he has actually given you. And realize that every life includes good and bad, happy and sad, easy and difficult. Your life is made no different than anyone else's when you look at it from a broader perspective. And there may be certain differences between each of our lives, but nobody has a perfect life. So take the first step today to enjoy every day of your life and making the most of your life and how we, make the most of your life. So the question then is, how do we actually do this? Well, you know, in investing, the number one rule which anybody talks to you about if you're a property investor or a stock market is that it's about the time you actually put time on the market. And that's really where they're looking at the longer term. And as you may guess, in our lives, we have time. Okay, some of us might have shorter time than others, but we have time in our lives to actually consider where we actually want to invest. And most of our lives consist of routine, and it can be an unremarkable series of events which actually happen day after day after day. And so whether it be investing here or there, we are really going to enjoy every day. We must learn to embrace the ordinary, to delight in the little things, and to appreciate small things and small blessings, and to find pleasure in the circumstances and situations that others might overlook. And, you know, you can do this often, and I was at a function which was a 50th party where, you know, you go through and you look at some old family photos. And despite those pictures being at special occasions, you know, a lot of us just hang around and actually look at ourselves and actually think, you know, is our lives made up for those special celebrations? Sure, it actually is. Although it's actually made up of a lot of other small things which we often take for granted and are very much highlights and lowlights in our lives as well. So we need to celebrate those life's exciting occasions and the big events. But in between them, we must be able to find joy fighting traffic, going to work, you know, cleaning our houses actually out, taking up trash, paying the bills, and raising children and all their little questions which they might be providing you. And enjoying life begins with making decisions to do so. Because the truth is, no matter what kind of lives we have, we will not enjoy them unless we decide to do so. In Mark 4, 26 and 27, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground, and then continues sleeping and rising night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows and increases. He knows not how." And this scripture teaches us that something happens to that seed, a process of growth and nourishment that no one can actually see. Much development takes place, it's seeded in the ground and it's watered, and while it's under there, it grows. And so much of that principle happens in our own lives, and much of life takes place when no one is actually really looking. Because God is working in our lives during the ordinary times as well as the big times, and when nothing remarkable seems to be taking place and everything is business as usual, that's when we develop character and the ability to enjoy everyday life. And as we enjoy life moment by moment, we see that life can be rich, rewarding, and satisfying. True life is not found in arriving at a destination. It is like what Captain Kirk says, it is the journey that we actually find our life. So the third point around the third step is actually what I want to call being free to be happy. Tim Keller, who's a pastor, it's going to come at the end. Yeah, it is. I haven't quite ordered it quite right. Tim Keller, who's a pastor of Redeemer's Presbyterian Church in New York, says that happiness is actually possible. There are umpteen verses in the Bible which start off the phrase, "Blessed is the act of blessing is to grant happiness, health, or prosperity." I tell you that God has made it possible to be happy. And, you know, when I think about that whole point, you know, I often think about what happens when, you know, myself, you know, Saturday mornings are my time of trying to actually get a little bit of that moment of happiness where, you know, I quite enjoy, not to the extent of that Rob does, but I quite enjoy getting up early in the morning and actually going for a run. And you know, it's pretty hard when, if you get up really early, it's quite cold and, you know, you want to be asleep in bed and you've had a long week. And often when I'm actually heading up, you know, the family's all quiet, Michelle's still asleep, Matthew's not going to get up till about midday. And, you know, I'm reminded that it is harder to actually, you know, keep doing that, although I've been renewed with confidence now that knowing that Rob's actually slightly older than I am and you're still doing it, Rob. But, you know, I do decide to often get out and actually head out to hit the road and my usual track, because Strava actually tracks this for me, is heading up to Mount Wellington, which is about 3K away from my home. And if you get up there early enough, the sun is still rising and there's no one usually there. And it's quite a beautiful vista when you're looking around at that moment in time when you're actually up there on your own. And you see the whole of the Auckland area. And so at those times, I feel quite blessed when I see what God has given me in my own life and I see what he's actually done in this world. And many times, you know, when we think about that point, people are rushing through their days without really stopping to delight in every day. And when they face a crisis, they finally slow down enough to enjoy life, their family, their work, and their friends, and simply just being alive. And so I want to challenge you again that don't leave it to those moments of, you know, big celebrations or deep lows. Try and actually celebrate every single moment of your life rather than those times of crisis or illness, which can be a catalyst for you to try and enjoy each day of your life. So your life is a God, is a gift to you, even if it's common, run-of-the-mill, mundane ordinariness. And so I do want to take you back to the other reading, which is in Psalms now. And note, it doesn't actually say, I know you can't read it, but look, grab out your Bibles again, and actually it'll be on your on there. But I just want to repeat that it says, blessed is the man. It doesn't say, blessed is the man who seeks happiness. It actually says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. You know, so the one who actually seeks happiness is not actually the one who's actually blessed. And actually, in fact, nowhere in the Bible does it actually say that the one who is blessed is the one who is seeking anything to do with happiness. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. And so happiness can never be found directly. Happiness is always and only a byproduct of seeking something else, which is more than happiness. The person who is happy is always the one who has stopped trying so hard to be happy. So what should we seek instead of happiness? And so happiness does not come from the things that happen to you. It comes about because it's actually in you. And so what you should seek is actually something deeper within you. The positive experiences you have by having someone say something nice to you or winning something, like if you won lotto, you know, these things don't last. People often say, you know, I'm going to try and make this moment forever. And, you know, you really want to wonder, is that one of those year right type moments? Is it a superficial level of happiness? Is it actually real? Or is it actually, is there something deeper to get real happiness, which is more fundamental than that? So in verse 3 of that passage in Psalms here, it says, a person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields in fruit, its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. And if you really look at what the psalmist is actually saying, he's comparing you and I to that tree. The tree which is subject to all the seasons which God has actually put around us. And we have experiences, good and bad, that happen to us in our lives that are like many seasons which happen around today in this world. And so I want to say, how has your life been in the dead winter of discontent that you might have actually experienced, whether that be the trials of losing a job or actually losing a loved one, or even if your health has actually gone off the rails, how has that dead of winter moment actually affected you? And when your life is actually in spring, how did you feel when you actually, you know, first met your new love, or you said yes down the altar when you got married, or received a promotion in your job? And then what about the season of nothingness, when you felt that the realization that others were actually passing you by and you were standing still? How did you feel then? And so when you think about that tree in that picture there, you'll also notice that that tree is also rooted in the riverbank. And despite drought, heat, or even heavy rain, its leaves don't wither. And so if you think about that tree, its roots have actually really grown deep down to tap into something a bit more deeper down there, that well of water that continues to supply. And so I want to say again that real happiness is actually found in you. We are like that tree planted by the stream. But rather than be dependent on what comes to us from the outside, we should be dependent on what comes to us from the inside. And the real test of this is actually in our bad times. Do we blame God and then say going to church was a waste of time? things have actually been pretty tough? Or do we recognize the trials and dig down deep to overcome the pain, to find peace, and ultimately the happiness that no matter what, ultimately the happiness that we can find no matter what has actually happened to us? So there was once a lady who had to travel extensively for her business, and most of her travel involved flying, and flying actually made her very nervous. And one day, like she did on all her trips, she took her out of Bible to read on the long flight that she was actually making because it helped her to relax. And on this particular trip, she was sitting next to a man, and when he saw her pull out her Bible, he gave a little chuckle and a smirk and went back to what he was doing. But, you know, an hour or so into the trip, she was still reading her Bible. And after a while, he turned to her and asked, "You don't really believe all that stuff in the Bible, do you?" And she replied, "Of course I do. It's in the Bible. It's fact." And he said, "Well, what about the guy who was swallowed by the whale?" She said, "Oh, you mean Jonah? Yes, I believe that story. It's actually in the Bible as well." And then the man actually asked, "Well, how do you suppose he survived all that time inside a whale?" And the lady said, "Well, I don't really know. I guess I'll actually have to ask it when I get to heaven." And so then the man says, "What if he's not in heaven?" So the man said sarcastically, and she said, "You can ask him," replied the lady, "when you get there," wherever you get to. And so the story reminds us that we need a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The relationship is necessary for you to go to heaven when we die and we spend eternity with him. And it is essential if we want to live our lives today. We should be beginning each day of our lives talking to God, listening to him, and spending time in his word. Start every day with God. Start every day in prayer. Start every day spending some meaningful time in his presence before you go about the other activities of your day. So happiness, then, is something you choose. It just doesn't happen to you. However, you shouldn't make happiness a priority. Make something else greater the priority, as we actually know. If you try and seek happiness in anything, including God, you will never be truly happy. You are not worshipping God, but something else. Seek and invest first in God's truth. It's quite interesting, the materials on right now media, actually, there's a very, very good series called the Wisdom Literature Series. And they talk quite a lot around Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And Job was a very interesting example of how they've actually scripted it, because it's a video, and you know, I don't like reading much, and I do like to watch the videos actually on there. And Job was tested, because the test was whether or not he was seeking happiness through the good works he was actually doing, or was he really happy and genuinely fearing the Lord because he actually did not seek happiness. And I'll let you read that later on. So live your life according to the truth of God's word. Honor God's word in your life. Give it a place of priority every day. Think about it. And how often do we say, "I believe in telling the truth, but not if it means that I lose that deal"? If we put happiness first, you will never actually have it. So I want to bring you back to the fact that the Bible contains answers to every question you could ever have in every situation you will ever face. True, it will not tell you specifically where to go on holiday, nor will it tell you where to put your specific money and what share to actually put it in. But, you know, it is interesting that the stock tickers they actually have on any investment are usually three letters. And I do want to say that if you are putting money into something, put it into G-O-D rather than to anything actually else in those stock tickers. That was a pun. Darren, I'm looking at you. So, you know, the quick dollars you get from investment don't actually exist. Invest for the long term. Impart your principles of right living, right thinking, wisdom, and faith. And so God's word is truth. And we know that from John 8:32, that the truth sets us free. But God's truth can only be effective for us if we receive it in our hearts and apply it to everyday circumstances through obedience. Ask yourself, are we applying the principles to our own situations? I know I'm not. I'm often guilty of not doing that myself. But if we want the word to work in our own lives, We need to do more than just read it, study it, know it. We need to confess it. We have to do as it actually says. And I understand it's not actually always easy for us, especially when we'd rather stay angry at someone and we see that the word says we must forgive. Or when we'd rather spend a day being lazy and we know that the word teaches us to be diligent but obedient. It's necessary if we want to enjoy God's blessings. Because Jesus said in John 3:13-17, if you know these things, blessed and happy to be envied, are you if you practice them? So what's higher than happiness? Jesus says it best. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, put God first. The rest will fall into place. So, in summary, and actually I should have probably put this one actually up first, Andrew. Here it actually is. Make the best of what you have. Embrace the ordinary. Be free to be happy. Start with God and choose to live by the word. So now you know longer need to be afraid of actually missing out. Authentic happiness can be achieved if you take the opportunity today to invest in a different way. And many people, including me, are extremely goal-orientated. We're so focused on that moment tomorrow, and we often fail to appreciate and enjoy today because we're always thinking ahead for the next big celebratory moment to actually check off our to-do list. All day long, we make hundreds of little choices that actually could make us happy. Some have immediate huge ramifications for our eternal future and ultimate happiness, and others seem irrelevant and trivial. So we're just going to actually play a little video now. Harvey, I'm just going to actually get a queue it up.